Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow!
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, the Royals win. They take the opener of this seven-game West Coast road trip, beating the Angels in the opener 10-4, the final score. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610, and whatever your pleasure is, it was on display tonight at the Big A. The story, of course, is the starting and victorious pitcher, Michael Wacha, spinning another quality start, the 19th quality start by Royals starting pitching here in 2024. Just complete and utter control from the savvy veteran right-hander. Had that fastball velocity up, mixing it in there with the always dangerous changeup and a well-executed cutter tonight. He was getting ahead of hitters and putting them away quickly. A lot of them staring at that fastball, pumping it up to 96 tonight. Pitching, defense, and team speed, it was all on display in this 10-4 Royals victory. The Royals rotation, I mentioned 19 quality starts. Their ERA remains 3.14, fourth best in Major League Baseball, while logging the third most innings in Major League Baseball. My game notes following this, the 23rd win of the season, are presented by our friends at Jay's Southland Tow. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Yeah, that's right, 23-16 in a virtual tie for second place, just a game and a half back from the front-running Cleveland Guardians. Again, the phone number, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. If you just want to shoot me a text, feel free. 913-586-7610. Pitching, defense, team speed. Dairon Blanco didn't climb the hill tonight, but he did just about everything else. A two-run home run, scores four runs, reaches base with a single, double, walk, and that two-run big fly to get the scoring started in the top of the third inning. And you have a big offensive night. You score 10 runs for the sixth time this season. Nobody else in the sport has done that. Or better put, nobody else in the sport has done that more often than the boys in blue. But you score 10 runs without a single base hit from Bobby Witt Jr. You score 10 runs without a single extra base hit from Salvador Perez. Now, the Royals do what they've done all season, and that is beat up on the bad teams. Royals now 12-4 against sub-500 teams. I'm interested from you. What's your takeaway? Are you able to keep a level head after a win like this? Now, we celebrate wins as any city would, coming off 106 losses just a summer ago. But to me, the celebration tonight isn't so much about collecting the game one victory. It's about the fact that Michael Wacha came out and set the stage and took the pressure off Alec Marsh as he returns from the IL more than likely tomorrow. If Michael Wacha isn't able to give you six plus innings, if he doesn't take that ball and attempt to gut through that seventh. If Wacha doesn't give you this type of performance, and that bullpen has to log innings after a very busy homestand against the Rangers and Brewers, if Waka's unable to give you that six-plus innings, and this bullpen is even more ragged going into tomorrow's game two as Alec Marsh comes off the IL, you don't want the young right-hander going into that outing thinking, all right, I got to go six. I have to do the... No. What I want Alec Marsh thinking as he comes off the IL is execute my pitches. Do what I did prior to the injury and nothing more. Just do my job and trust that defense behind me. And that defense put on a show again tonight. From Bobby Witt Jr. at shortstop to Hunter Renfroe in right. Shoot. Daniel Lynch had the defensive play of the night as he started a big inning-ending 1-4-3 double play with two on and one out in the seventh inning. That three-run seventh inning for the Angels. Yeah, Royals scored 10 runs, and this was actually close to being a game at one point in the seventh inning. Two on, one out, could have flipped that game. You know, a big fly there in that spot instead of that double play. Instead of a laugher, instead of the blowout that it turned out to be, you know, that could have turned into a 9-6 game, and Daniel Lynch is shaky on the hill. No. Daniel comes off the hill, fields the grounder off of the bat of Kevin Pillar, and with his momentum carrying him towards the third base line, he looks like a shortstop or a third baseman with the sidearm sling to second base, starting that 1-4-3 double play. He hits Massey, over to Vinny, and the inning, and the threat is over. Royals win 10-4. Phone lines are open. The text line is there as well. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jock in Pleasant Hill. Jock, you're going to hit leadoff tonight. Go ahead, buddy.
Man, I can't believe this. It's not Jock, it's Chuck. Wow, this is the first time I ever called in. I'm hitting leadoff, man. This is awesome. I love your show, Vern. I'm listening to you, man, every night. I guess I had one question. You know, your whole game recap that you just went over. At the end of the game, how long do we let Sauer stay on the mound? Because I was looking in my crystal ball and seeing a blown lead, and I don't want to be that pessimistic guy, but I was kind of having visions of Ricky Vaughn just blowing the game. And do we let him come back to within two runs and see what the kid has, and then give it to the other bullpen? And what do we do,
Chuck? What are you talking about, Chuck? I don't understand. What are you talking about? You're talking about Matt Sauer in the ninth inning when the Royals had a seven-run lead?
Yeah, and he had a guy on, what, first and third or first and second, and then he gave up that single.
Okay, but what about it? What do I think about what?
Well, how
a Rule 5 guy giving up a run in a seven-run game? Who cares?
How long do we keep him on the mound to let him – we know what our bullpen can do on blowing saves. That's what I'm saying.
Okay, but who cares? I appreciate the phone call. It's a seven-run game. I just need you to get three outs. I couldn't care less, honestly, what happens. Now, if you want to have a conversation about Matt Sauer and should they keep him on the roster all season, because as a Rule 5 arm, as a Rule 5 draft pick, he's either on the big league club or you send him back to the New York Yankees. Now, if you want to have a conversation about can they afford to have a Rule 5 guy in that bullpen? Okay, well, we could have that conversation, but to dissect his ninth inning to me is just a waste of everybody's time. Hits the first batter, gives up a single to the next batter, and then strikeout, sack fly, single, game over. Oh. That's what seven-run leads are for young arms to go out there and get some work in. And that's what Matt Sauer did. All right, let's go to Bryce in Smithville. Bryce, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead. Bryce, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, Vern? How you doing?
What's going on, buddy?
Hey, sorry about that. No, for a leadoff, you know, call like that, you know, it's a little tough to hear.
It was rough.
You know, with Matt Sauer, I was like, you know, the one thing to be proud of, I was like, you think the kid was really going to go out there and give up, you know, seven, eight runs? I was like, I mean, Right. He's playing in his hometown, his home city, you know, wherever. He's Cali native. I was like, give him a little bit of credit, you know, give him a little bit of shine tonight.
Sure, sure. Anyway, Bryce, let's not talk anymore about Matt Sauer, please, God.
Okay, all right. No, you're right. Okay. My big thing, man, tonight was just Daron Blanco. It was great, you know, seven start in the season, you know, 3-for-3, a home run, bunt single, a double, two stolen bases, you know, it was way a triple away from the cycle or whatnot. I was like, that's just, you know, that right there is just, it's good to see. It's good to see some people, you know, get the reps in and get some confidence. Walker was great, six innings pitched, you know, three earned runs. Hey, I'll take that from his last outing. Daniel Lynch to make that play, you know, coming off the mound, you know, not really, you know, knew where he was going to throw it to, but just the fact that he just whipped it around, got that into second perfectly, you know, to get that double play, that was great. Other than that, man, just, you know, good to see. Just the confidence again. I spoke to you not long ago, and that's really what it is, just the confidence to see day in, day out now. I'm not gonna say too much about, like, you know, we got a long season ahead, but it's good to see what we're capable of with our confidence now when we come to play and expect it. So that's it. Thanks.
Appreciate it, Bryce. Thank you very much for the phone call. That opens up a phone line for you, 913-586-7610. No doubt. Glad that Daron Blanco's name is brought up. Can't believe Matt Sauer's name was brought up before Daron Blanco, but whatever. Tonight was the seventh start of the season for Blanco. In those seven starts, he scored seven runs and is hitting .349. 8-for-23. Blanco tonight, a pair of stolen bases. He's top 10 in Major League Baseball. Yeah, he's got 10 stolen bases. That's 8th best in the sport. Again, it was all on display tonight. Whatever your pleasure is in the game, you saw something that tickled your fancy. Whether that's the speed of Daron Blanco and Garrett Hampson, it's the power of Vinny Pasquantino. You kidding me, Vin? That, my friends, is why we call him the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. 5 trips to the plate, all against left-handers. A 442-foot homer in the third. A beautiful piece of hitting on that leadoff double in the seventh. Just against lefties this year, Vinny's hitting .333. And in his last month of baseball, 27 games for Vinny, 26 starts, 25 RBI. He's hitting .315 with more walks than strikeouts and an OPS of .985. That, my friends, is the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. On the mound, on the base paths, out of the bullpen, Daniel Lynch coming up big. At the dish, in every facet, the Royals continue to flex, to showcase the most powerful weapons in the sport of baseball. Elite pitching, elite defense, and elite team speed. They're 23-16 on the season. We'll take a quick timeout and get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Postgame Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
0-1. Garcia leads from second. The pitch. Swing and a high fly ball. Deep right field. Way back and long gone. That is a monster shot off the bat of Vinny Pasquantino. He crushed a fastball, and the Royals double their lead. It's 4-0.
Steve Stewart on the call, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. Vinny's 2-run blast in the third made it, as you heard, 4-0 Kansas City. That lead would grow in the fifth inning thanks to a sack fly from Vinny Pasquantino and an RBI knock from Salvador Perez. 3 ribbies tonight from Vinny gives him 14 RBI in his last 13 games. So it's 6-0 Royals after 5. They score 2 more in the sixth as Daron Blanco and Garrett Hampson work walks against Amir Garrett. And Amir Garrett's always been awful at holding runners on. So Blanco and Hampson go crazy on the base paths. They both score on an RBI double from Michael Garcia. It's 8-0 after 6. In the seventh, another run comes across as Michael Massey drives in Vinny Pasquantino. 9-0 Kansas City. That's an important number because coming into tonight, Michael Walker received a grand total of 9 runs of support. 9 runs of support across 7 starts. And he receives 9 runs of support in this one alone. 9-0 heading to the bottom of the 7th inning, and Walker just ran out of gas. Didn't get a helping hand from Michael Garcia at third as he makes an error. So 3 runs come in to score for the Angels there in the 7th inning. But as I mentioned, Daniel Lynch comes in out of the bullpen and not only gets it done on the mound, but gets it done defensively and holds the Angels at 3. 9-3 after 7. Royals score their 10th and final run in the 8th inning as Blanco and Hampson go back-to-back with doubles. As we've learned, Matt Sauer gave up a run in the 9th inning, and that's how we arrive at our final score. 10-4 Royals win. They're 23-16 and the owners of the 4th best run differential in Major League Baseball. All right, let's go back to the phone calls. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Jason, who's hanging out with us out on the West Coast. Jason in Washington. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, Vern, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good, dude, good. It's past your guys' bedtime.
You know that.
Yeah, but no, it's been a while since we've seen an Angels team this bad.
Boy, oh boy.
I'll be mad if we don't take 3 out of 4, man, to be honest. But,
I can't say that. I understand you saying that because I have to imagine the average baseball fan recognizes maybe one name in this lineup, but unlikely one, to be quite honest with you, Jason.
Yeah, I mean, two of their stars are injured, and you know, no Otani gone. But right. But no, how about that night for Blanco? Like, dude, I hope Q starts him more often than not because Velasquez, what, 4 strikeouts?
Yeah, awful. Nelson Velasquez, listen to this, Jason. Since his last home run, which came on the 4th of April, he's hitting .186 with 5 extra base hits. He has 29 strikeouts in his last 27 games. People want to talk about Drew Waters replacing MJ or Renfro? Uh-uh. If Drew Waters is going to get to the show, it's by taking the spot of Nelson Velasquez.
Or start Blanco more, huh?
Sure. Yeah, hey. Yeah. And listen, they're facing a lefty coming up on Saturday and Sunday. So you would imagine Blanco's going to get more opportunities moving forward in this series against the Angels.
Yeah, I think so, because he's hot right now on the speed. Yes. Stole 2 bases off Garrett just in that one inning. It's just, you know, because Garrett was wild. But, no, what an awesome throw by Lynch in the 7th to turn that double play. Like, I know you mentioned earlier, but So since Lynch was supposed to start tomorrow, instead Marsh is going, do we send Duffy back to Omaha and keep Lynch in the bullpen?
I think Lynch will go down. I think he's still the first one up, happens to this rotation. So I think you want to keep him, I believe, you want to keep him stretched out. Because if you start using him out of the bullpen, somebody gets banged up, and then we're going back to Jonathan Bolin. I don't want to do that.
Oh, right. And I guess Lynch is a starter anyway, so he needs to work.
I think so, yeah. Thanks for the phone call, Jason. Nice hearing from you as always, buddy. Let's go to Roger in Topeka. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals win 10-4. Roger,
call.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing amazing. Great win tonight. And Daniel Lynch, how awesome. I saw him when he brought up on his first start against the White Sox and got shelled. And yes, now he's coming around. A great start the other night. And then 2 innings of nothing. He has a 0 ERA. Great victory. Nice to see Garcia and Benny continuing to rake. And Salvi, what can you say? Blanco needs to play every day along with Hanson. And, I think we need to sit Renfro. I don't care how his arm is or what he did tonight. I think somebody else needs to take his spot. Maybe Isabel.
Well, Isabel's your center fielder.
Well, I'm just saying, with the lineup tonight, the lineup was awesome. the lineup tonight was awesome. And Walker was dealing, pitching a shutout, throwing more strikes than balls. Granted, give him maybe another batter or so in the next inning, but he had lowered his ERA by almost a run, and they let him walk a couple of batters in a row when you could obviously see he was tired. So,
all right, got it. Appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call. Waka came into tonight with an ERA of 5.5. It's been lowered to 5.15. Yeah, the lineup wasn't awesome tonight. The performance was awesome. The execution was terrific. Garrett Hampson made his ninth start. In those nine starts, he's hitting .286. Yeah, listen, Kyle Isbell's the starting center fielder. But again, you faced a lefty tonight. You're going to see a lefty coming up on Saturday. A lefty again on Sunday. So you're going to get your fill of Dairon Blanco. You're going to see plenty of Garrett Hampson. You just don't always need to react so dramatically. Doesn't always need to be, get rid of this guy. I love this guy now. That guy can take a seat and this guy can get a few at-bats. But let's just calm down a second. Dairon Blanco has had a terrific start to the season. Garrett Hampson's been fine. But let's not make them out to be the type of players that could meet the ceiling of Hunter Renfroe. That can meet the ceiling of an MJ Melendez. You're going to need MJ Melendez. You're going to need Hunter Renfroe to act as if you could just write them off and, all right, we're turning the page. The job now belongs to Dairon Blanco and Garrett Hampson. You'll regret that. Now, come the postseason, no doubt you're going to need Blanco. You're going to need the speed of Blanco and Hampson. Throughout the season, you're going to need it, obviously. But to get through the course of 5 months, you're going to need that extra base pop. Because right now, Michael and Bobby and Vinny and Salvi can carry you a long way. Michael Massey's had a very nice start to the season. You can get by with a middle-of-the-road offense. I truly believe that. And that's what they've been so far. But the guys that have led you to that middle-of-the-road offense eventually will scuffle, will go through a slump. And in those moments, that's when MJ's going to step up, hopefully, like we saw in the first 2 weeks of the season. Hopefully, Hunter Renfroe can lock it in. I'm certainly growing impatient, yeah, but he's not going anywhere anytime soon. You have him under contract this year, and if he stinks this year, he's going to trigger that player option for next year. Let's just calm down about throwing this player or that player to the curb. Let's go to Matt in Kansas City. You're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, Vern, how's it going?
All right, buddy, how are you?
Oh, man, it's after midnight, but I'm fired up. I'm getting shades of 2014 ALCS, ALDS. I mean, the buzz, I think, and the hype is real, especially after last year. I mean, you got to be fired up and positive. You hit the nail on the head, the starting pitching, the team defense, the speed. I mean, gosh, I thought Vinny hit that ball to Jupiter today.
No what was kidding. Holy crap.
Punch on that. I jumped out of my chair, Vern. Oh, my gosh, that thing.
Yeah.
I hear you. I am a little concerned, like you're kind of alluding to, when we get to the dog days of summer, outside of the big three, you know, Bobby, Vinny, and Sal. But couple questions. First, I want to hear your thoughts. I think one guy we're going to have to really lean on is number 17. Massey has impressed me a lot, and my dad and I really started liking him last year. I know he's a young guy. What do you think about getting production out of him down the heart of the season?
Sure. Appreciate the phone call. A few things there. You mentioned you're getting the 2014 feeling. I know you were after that Vinny Pasquantino home run. You were curious about the exit velo on that left-on-left murdering of a baseball. 111 miles per hour off of the bat of the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. He ripped that down the right field line a lot like Eric Hosmer did in the most recent playoff game held in Anaheim. Game 2 of the ALDS back in 2014, that extra inning bomb from Haas. Last playoff game at the Big A. As far as Michael Massey, I've been a fan of his since I first had the chance to meet him back in 2020. He was one of those guys that I think my first impression was that guy reminds me of the type of kid that wore his baseball pants to bed, wore his baseball pants to school, just because he loved the game so much. I'm a big fan of Michael Massey. And what he's done since returning? And what he's done, in my opinion, is given this team a five-hitter. You know, MJ, early on in the season, was clearly the number five hitter, was going to be that guy to give Salvador Perez some protection, was going to make this lineup five deep with guys that can put the team on their back. Mikel, Bobby, Vinny, Salvi, and MJ. But after those first few weeks, MJ went through that elongated slump. Nelson Velasquez hasn't really done anything in a month. Hunter Renfroe hasn't done anything all year. And then Michael Massey returned. He's only been back for, what, 15, 16, 17 games. He's hitting better than 250. That's well above league average. OPS in the low 700. So, yeah, tonight an 0 for 5 with a handful of strikeouts. Not a great look tonight for Massey, but again, it was a tough matchup. It was all lefties tonight for the Angels. I think if Massey wasn't going so well, he actually takes a seat tonight and Garrett Hampson plays some second base. And you have maybe a Kyle Isbell sighting in center field. But Massey's going so well, you're not going to take that bat out of the lineup. Now, I'm a big fan of number 19, Michael Massey. Real big fan. Thanks for the phone call. 913-586-7610. Royals, with this win tonight, improve to 16-6 when they score four or more runs. We go back to the calls. Kyle in the Northland, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Kyle.
Hey, Vern. I'm with you on Massey. You know, I got faith in him. He's showing up real strong this year. I think MJ and Renfro, they're going to get hot at some point, and that'll push our lineup to seven. So that's all good news.
Look out if that happens.
Right. Yeah, I mean, we're already pretty strong. I got faith in all of our guys. You know me. But I was listening to the On Deck show, and I definitely noticed the fans move the goalpost after that, you know, seven-game win streak. So I think it was a blessing and a curse because it's rejuvenated the fan base, but might have also skewed expectations a little too high. Which I don't want to hear any negativity. I mean, we're going to have a fun summer. I'm ready to enjoy the ride. But, Vern, about this time, a year ago I called into the show for the very first time, and we were having a midlife crisis with the team getting off to a rough start, and you asked what we needed to do to get back on track, and I said we needed to get back to speed and defense. And I think shortly after that we called up Dairon Blanco, and I didn't know much about him at that time. He was leading the minors in stolen bases with about 48 or 49. It is insane. But how far we've come since then is absolutely amazing. And I'd just like to say thank you to JJ and his staff, as well as Mr. Sherman, because, you know, this is going to be a very fun summer, regardless of how it turns out. But as for tonight's game, it was nice to see the offense come through in the clutch and another, you know, good outing by Waka. Great D by Bobby, as always. And shout out to Mike Sweeney on the broadcast. I really enjoyed listening to him tonight. He was on his A game, and I also enjoyed seeing Amir Garrett. I was a fan of his last year. But the reason I called today, Vern, is to tell you that when Blanco comes out of the dugout late in the game to pinch run, I nominate Act the Fool by Ludacris for his walkout song.
Love it.
Yeah, that would be a good one. And one more thing, Fern, this just might be my age talking or because I pulled my quad playing beer league softball, but next time you see Bobby or Vinny, could you please ask them to stop chest bumping on the infield after every win? For making me nervous. And I got one more favor to ask, Fern. Can us diehards who listen to you tell us, the Royals are now on pace for X amount of losses all year last year? can we get the Royals are now on pace for X amount of wins after every victory? And, you know,
well, I don't know about that. I appreciate the phone call. I don't know about after every victory. I think we only did that after the losses. I don't think that really started until the second half of the season when it looked like they were going to track down the franchise record for L's. So, listen, it's not my job, but I like to keep people even keeled. If I come on right now, you know, what are they on pace for right now? They're on pace to win about 96 games. I feel like that's going to do exactly what you were talking about, Kyle, and get people to start thinking it's playoffs or bust. And I'm not there. You shouldn't be there either. This team has a legit chance of making it to the postseason, no doubt about it, but let's maintain through May first. Before we start talking about the postseason rotation or the moves that need to be made at the trade deadline, let's get through the month of May first. Thanks for the phone call, Kyle. Royals with the win tonight, the 10-4 win in game one of a four-game series in Anaheim. With the win, they improved to 8-8 on the road and even 500. 500 on the road, but a run differential on the road of plus 18. Yeah, five of those eight losses have been by one run. Let's go to Stan in Kansas City. Stan, you're next up on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, Ben?
All right, how are you?
Pretty good, pretty good. It was interesting you said May 1st. It's almost like in my mind, and I'll just make a statement, and I'll get your thoughts off the air. I'm about like 10 games away from kind of a stair-stepping change to the bottom of the lineup. If things remain the way they go, it's almost like the last players would probably be first. I don't know what you do with him, but I think he has options. I know Hunter's going to stay on the field. I mean, he's got a contract, I think.
Right.
$7 million option next year. Five-point, whatever he's doing this year. And he's got track record, so I know they're going to stay with him. I think they'll stay with Melendez. But if Blanco and if Waters are playing pretty well, I think those are kind of the names. Isabel was kind of on there for a while, but Isabel has been squaring the ball up sometimes. So as long as he keeps playing in the field, that's great. Right. But I think I was, in my mind, I'm like about 10 games away from that. Like, this is a bridge to start thinking about that kind of stuff. If guys are performing the way they are. And I'll get your comments off the air. Thanks.
Yeah, again, I mean, they haven't even played the Cleveland Guardians yet. The team that they're chasing in the division, they haven't even lined up against them once. And that won't happen until the calendar flips to June. So until we get there, I'm really not all that interested in what's going on in Omaha. I mean, I'm following it, and okay, I'm interested in Will Klein and Carlos Hernandez. I'll give you that. Hernandez, by the way, pitched tonight, picked up the save, scoreless ninth inning. He did walk a pair of batters, but made a very nice defensive play, a lot like Daniel Lynch. Came off the mound, nice throw to second base. Nice performance tonight from Carlos Hernandez. So, yeah, I'm watching the pitching. I'm watching the high-velocity relievers right now down in Omaha. But as far as Drew Waters, I know that's the sexy name right now. He went 1-for-4, scored a run. He's hitting .330 with an OPS better than .970. Yeah, that's really impressive. You know who else is hitting .330 in Omaha? Nate Eaton. And, man, that sounds really mean to say, like I'm trashing Nate Eaton. He's a terrific athlete. His OPS is near .900. To be that good at the AAA level, that's, I'm not dogging you out. That's still 1% of the 1% to hit .330 at AAA in professional baseball. No, congratulations to Nate Eaton. But I don't hear anybody banging down the door for Nate Eaton to come up here. And he can do more than Drew Waters as far as defensive versatility. He can find more ways to get on the field. I've seen a lot of guys have good months, good 30 games down in Omaha. Drew, keep it up, buddy. Keep it up, Drew Waters. Keep it up, Nate Eaton. When we flip the calendar to June, if they're still doing it, Yeah, make the move. I'm fine with it. 913-586-7610. Royals off to the fifth best start in franchise history, 23-16, and they hand the ball to Alec Marsh coming up tomorrow night in Game 2. It's an 8:38 first pitch. I'm once again on the air with the On Deck Show beginning Friday night at 7:30. We'll take our final quick timeout. If you're on hold, stay right there. I'll get right back to the phone calls after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
First and third, one out. Pilar waits. Here's the pitch. And a check swing, grounded to the right side. The pitcher has it, goes to second, one on to first. That's two. What a play by Lynch. Lunging to his right, throwing to second for one, on to first for two. A very well-turned double play, and the Royals get out of a mess.
Yeah, well said. Steve Stewart, as heard here on 610 Sports Radio. I see texter Chris writing in, giving some love to Daniel Lynch for that beautiful inning-ending 1-4-3 double play to finish off the Angels' threat in the seventh inning. A 9-3 game suddenly felt a lot closer than six runs with two on and one out. Daniel Lynch gets Kevin Pillar to ground the ball to the left side of the infield. Fortunately, the left-handed throwing Lynch falls off to his right, the right side of the mound, so it takes him right to the ball. He fields it, and with his momentum carrying him towards that third base line, he turns towards second base and slings the ball to Michael Massey, starting that 1-4-3 double play. Royals win 10-4. They're now 23-16 on the season. Tonight, offensively, with runners in scoring position, the Royals tonight went 6-for-14. Okay. On the season, the Royals are hitting .302 with runners in scoring position. Did you realize that? I knew they were hitting well. They're hitting better than .300 with men in scoring position. And not just singles and bleeders. They have an OPS near .850 with runners in scoring position. Salvador Perez, third in Major League Baseball with 32 RBI. He picked up RBI number 32 with his two-out single in the fifth inning. Salvi, third with RBI in Major Leagues, 10th best batting average in the show. Salvi hitting .328 this season. Let's go to Jared in Fort Scott. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead, Jared.
Hey, Vern, how you doing, man?
Doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm good, man. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Hey, thanks a lot.
You bet, man. Our guy didn't play tonight, but people will be calling in and calling him Isabel. Let's give the man some respect. His name's Kyle Isabel.
Yeah, I mean, I work with people that call him Isabel.
Bro.
I mean, there were people in the organization that called him Isabel. People that work for the Royals call him Isabel. It's always been strange to me.
That's perfect. All the listeners know his name's Kyle Isbell. All right, let's get it.
All right, well, you know what, Jared? I'll start doing a better job of correcting people. I just let it go because I don't always want to seem like, Vern, you think you're better than everybody. But, yeah, it drives me crazy, too. Thanks for the phone call. Speaking of Kyle Isbell, here's a text from the 816. Vern, Kyle Isbell gets brought up way too much from disgruntled fans. He's your nine hitter who's a top three defender at his position. What do you guys want? This dude is a boss. 816, I'm with you 100%. I do not get it. With the type of offensive production you're getting from catcher and shortstop, shoot, throw in what Michael Massey's doing. With the type of offensive production you're getting from catcher, shortstop, and second base, man, I don't need nothing. I know that's a double negative. I don't need anything from my center fielder offensively other than proper execution. Get the bunt down. Don't punch out when the situation calls for you putting the ball in play. Kyle Isbell is going to be in the running for the Gold Glove when it's all said and done. Thanks for the text. Let's go to Connor in Overland Park. Connor, you're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. I live by the maintain through May every day. I think we can do it, but until the calendar switches through to June. But let's go Royals. That's all I got to say. Have
great
a good
call.
Night.
Hey, appreciate it. Good stuff as always, Connor. Thank you very much. 913-586-7610. From the 913, Vern, don't you have to be nervous about 5 walks tonight from Michael Wacha? No, not really. I'm not. 3 of those 5 walks came in the 7th inning when he didn't record it out in the 7th inning. Wacha needing 26 pitches, facing 5 batters, walking 3 of them, giving up 1 single and a Michael Garcia error. No, I'm not worried about it. That was him just trying to grind through 7, save the bullpen. Keep in mind, when he took the hill there in the 7th inning, it's 9-0. He's just trying to record outs. Nibbling maybe a little bit too much. I think he just ran out of gas. But I'm certainly not worried about Michael Wacha. Third quality start of the season tonight for the right-hander, and he's given the Royals a chance to win in 7 of his 8 starts this season. From the 620, bro, some of these guys that call in are in their own galaxy. Vern, did I just hear someone say that Garrett Hampson should start? Yes, you did. Raj in the Ozarks shouting out Danny Duffy, who I believe was released by the Texas Rangers today. Is that right? From the 913, when can we send Nelson Velasquez down to Omaha? Yeah, that's the avenue for Drew Waters to get to the show. Is for this organization to say, all right, that's long enough. A month worth of nothing from Nelson Velasquez is enough. Go find your swing down in AAA, and we're calling up Drew Waters. I'm not going to defend Nelson Velasquez. If you want to make that move right now, you go right ahead. The fact that the organization doesn't tells you what they believe about Nelson Velasquez and what he showed last year. They believe that power was real. And I think they believe Drew Waters could use a little bit more marinating down in Omaha. Could use the everyday at-bats down in Omaha. Let's go to Dan and KCK. Dan, you're on the postgame show as the Royals win 10-4. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, Josh. Yeah, great night for Wacha with his 6 strikeouts and Vinny's bomb, 442 feet. Woo! That was his best ever. Yeah, and I like what I'm seeing so far. So good in the month of May. Let's keep it going. And happy birthday to Salvi on his 34th birthday. You know, usually it's a home run on his birthday. So let's take care of business
right.
Tomorrow.
Dan, thanks for pointing that out. I can't believe. Yeah. Oh well, it turned past midnight. Okay, that's why. I was like, I can't believe I've gone this whole day and didn't realize it was Salvi's birthday. It's now Salvi's birthday. It's 12:38 Kansas City time. Happy 34th birthday to the great number 13. Way to go, Dan. These players. Thanks to our front office for turning around this organization. No doubt, Ryan. Ownership as well. From the 816, Vern, does a guy like Dairon Blanco deserve more playing time after a night like tonight? Yeah, no doubt. Listen, the energy that Dairon Blanco has brought since debuting last year, as I think it was Kyle in the Northland that brought it up, since Dairon's return to the big leagues last season, he just fits so perfectly into what Matt Quatrero's trying to do here. The energy that he brings alone, I think, warrants a start or two a week. But like I mentioned, with 2 lefties coming up this weekend, you're going to see more Dairon Blanco. Lori in Austin enjoyed listening to the game tonight, shouting out Michael Wacha. Pitching well for 6, giving the bullpen a break tonight, no doubt, Lori. Chris writes in, how about Vinny Pasquantino's home run? And wow, Daniel Lynch did indeed make that double play look impressive. And then Pletch is wondering how realistic it is to expect Daniel Lynch to be a bullpen arm. I don't think you do that until you give up on him being a starting pitcher. And I'm not there yet with Daniel Lynch, and why would I be after what we saw him do just a few days ago? Again, I want some depth in the rotation. Because for as much as I'm hoping that the return of Alec Marsh tomorrow and the starting five from opening day being formed once again, yeah, I'm hoping that the remaining 123 games only see Marsh, Reagans, Lugo, Singer, Waka from here on out. But you and I know, Pletch, that's unlikely to happen. You're likely going to see someone go down. So when that happens, where else are you going to turn? To me, Daniel Lynch is still your best option. It's a better option than Jonathan Bolin, than Zach Davies, than Anthony Veneziano, and then even some of your top prospects. I think they could use some more marinating, like Chandler Champlain, who pitched very well tonight for the Double-A team. 6 shutout innings of 3-run baseball, no walks, 7 punchouts, lowers his ERA to 4.25. But again, that's Double-A. That's 1 month of Double-A baseball. You got to give me half a season before I start contemplating making that type of a jump for a guy like Chandler Champlain. Pletch, appreciate you listening, as always. Well, Alec Marsh is on the hill coming up later on Friday night as he squares off with the only righty that we're going to see in this 4-game set in Anaheim. It's Griffin Koenig. It's an 8:38 first pitch, and I'm on the air with the On Deck Show beginning at 7:30. We just did an entire post-game show and really didn't talk about Bobby Witt Jr. He's walked in 6 straight games. He made an unbelievable catch where he traveled 129 feet. Running at breakneck speed. He won 10-4 without Bobby doing much. Hey, thanks to Julio Sanchez for the help back at the studio. Thanks for you for listening. Enjoy the rest of your Friday. I'll talk to you later on today. Take care.
You've been listening to Vern's post-game show.
Blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back, and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.